the, as I said, there are three readings that we're going to have today, and the first reading, we want to just cover verses 1 through 4, and in the second reading, verses 5 through 8, and then the last reading, 9 through 12. So that's really the plan for today. Just a couple more introductory remarks. John's first epistle, he writes and talks about the relationship. He talks about family. He talks about the beloved and the family that we've all been made a part of. In the second epistle, he talks about how those who had received that truth, received that message, who had followed what he had laid out in the first epistle, were walking in the good of it, and were walking in such a way that they resisted anything and everything that was antichrist. And that was a key feature in the second epistle. In the third epistle, again, it's the same theme, walking in light of everything that the first epistle brings to light, but now in a positive sense of supporting and helping and assisting so that the truth might be able to be spread. So we want to just look at the first group of verses, verse 1 through 4. And the biggest thing that immediately leaps out the page to us is the recurrence of the theme, truth. The truth. And we'll cover that as we go along. But just to start the discussion and to start the study, it's how we mentioned the four men that are in the epistle. The first one is John. And John refers to himself in verse 1 as the elder. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letters, he introduced himself most of the time as Paul, an apostle. John was an apostle, but he chose not to use that title in his address. This letter is what we call a pastoral letter. It's a personal letter in which the writer is encouraging and writing to give instruction and help to the one he's writing to. So it's pastoral. He comes and he introduces himself as the elder. Peter, in his epistle, does the same thing in, I think it's 1 Peter 5. He says, to the elders I exhort who am also an elder. And so what can we learn from this title and this introduction as an elder? A couple of things come to mind. The word itself is used two different ways in the New Testament. One is with regards to age, someone who is grown up and mature. And I think that's an application for everyone in the room. Everyone in the room, we are all growing up. We hope that we're all growing in Christ, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would have an indication of maturity. And so John is approaching Gaius as one who is mature in the faith. And that's an application, I think, that we all can aspire to. We don't become, as old men, spiritually mature just because we're chronologically mature. Becoming mature and having this kind of compassion and care that John demonstrates is something that's cultivated all along the way. And so if we think of elder in the sense of one who is older and mature, been in the way a long time, who has walked with the Lord, that is something that we all in this room can aspire to, so that when we are physically and chronologically or in age older, that we are still mature and are able to be an encouragement to others. The second use of the word elder is with regards to one who exercises oversight. And so in this letter, you could see both interpretations, both definitions come into light by John's activity. He is concerned about the brethren. He's concerned about Gaius. He's concerned about the brethren. He's concerned about the assembly life that was going on. And so in exercising godly care and oversight, we can see that emerge in this letter as well.
We could make a few other introductory remarks, if possible. In regards to the third letter, it's very helpful to keep it in the context of the first two letters, right? And so when we think of the first letter, this was more of a general letter to believers overall, and it was sent to those in a particular area, and it focused on the truth there as well. The second letter focused on a sister in the Lord called an elect lady and her family. So it wasn't just her. It was written to her and her family, her children. And then this letter here, it's the most intimate because it's just written to a brother. It's just... The number decreased, the intimacy grew. And I think we see in the third epistle... the encouragement that's given to just one, and he's not alone because there'll be another faithful person mentioned in the letter, but just to encourage him to keep on keeping on. And, you know, John doesn't mention his name, his own name, although we believe it is him in the, as the author. We know it's the Holy Spirit. And even when he wrote to the elect lady, he just doesn't mention his name. He just says, the elder. So in a way, I think there's humility in him using the expression compared to saying, well, I'm that apostle who's lived a long time and you should listen to me. But instead, it is a humble expression, the elder, to address them. And he was known as that. John himself, not only apostle, but a mature Christian, a mature believer, who had witnessed the Lord walking here on earth and physically saw him, physically heard him, was a testimony of who he was, and now could speak to one he passed that along to, Gaius. So it's a wonderful title or expression that he uses of himself, and intimacy.
Could we also point out that John was the last of the apostles to be alive, if I'm not mistaken? And this is written, if you look in your Bibles, at AD 90 to 95, so towards the end of the first century. So he was the last one of those who had been with the Lord Jesus, if I'm not mistaken.
And if I might add to that, he was the youngest of the disciples that get to know the Lord Jesus. And he is the oldest now that is writing the last writing in the New Testament, the last inspired writing in the New Testament. So this whole idea of maturity is very encouraging, just to make a practical application, that those who knew the Lord Jesus at young age and continue steadfastly following him, even at their old age, as they mature now, they will be able to encourage others. So he did not write first, he wrote last. But all of these experience. The other thing about the Apostle John, and especially his writing, as we have said, he intimately knows the Lord Jesus. Five times in the Gospel of John, he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he is the apostle of the family. If we need to know about church truth, assembly truth, we go to the Apostle Paul. If we need to know about kingdom truth, we go to the Apostle Peter. If we need to know about family truth, also there's always interconnection between the three of them, we go to the Apostle John. And his writing in the end was to defend the faith. And to put it in a very practical way, if you remember, I think it is in Matthew chapter 5, when the Lord called James and John, it said there that they were mending their father's net. And his ministry is to mend the net. The net is broken. And the whole testimony, humanly speaking, you look around, it is broken. And the ministry of the Apostle John is to mend that. In the first epistle, he sets forth the truth. But the truth is not an just a matter of abstract. It has a practical application. So in the second epistle, he writes to a family. How you apply the truth that I said in chapter 1? By not receiving certain individual that holding certain teaching. In the third epistle, he's writing to individual. And what to do now? Not to receive, how to receive. So the truth that he wrote in chapter 1, the practical application of it is in the first epistle, the practical application in the second and third epistle. Is that clear? Is that understandable?
Yeah,
all right, good.
I got it.
Good.